This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Well, truer words have never been said, Dana, right? And a good, what is today, Wednesday?
Today is Wednesday.
It's Wednesday and feels like it should be Thursday.
Oh, by the way, thank you for reminding me. Tomorrow is opening day for the Kansas City Royals. I'm not breaking any news there. We recognize, we here at the Dana and Parks program, fully recognize that a lot of eyes and ears will be on opening day. We're going to concede tomorrow to the guys next door. But it gives us an opportunity to do our annual Dana and Parks game day.
Jack around and not get much done.
That's right. So we will be doing Dana and Parks game day tomorrow, where we spend a good portion of the afternoon talking about the important topics of the day, but also playing games like Mixtape, Family Feud,
Jenga.
We might slip in a little bit of Trivial Pursuit.
Ooh.
I don't have a lot of time.
I don't know if we're going to have time. I have no idea.
I think you'll have plenty of time.
Thanks, Dan. You say we don't get a lot of calls on opening day.
Hello.
Really quiet out there.
Hello. Yes.
Really quiet.
Is anyone there? There. It was nice to see Ryan Lefevre yesterday.
Yep.
Adore that man. The New York Giants have signed Russell Wilson away from the Pittsburgh Steelers for a one-year deal, $10.5 million guaranteed, potential to earn $21 million.
Man, he will just not retire.
I'm telling you.
Give it up, man.
He had a decent season last year in Pittsburgh. And Missouri Tigers forward Aiden Shaw has announced his intentions to enter the transfer portal less than a week after concluding his third season with Mizzou. Uh-huh. He said, I would like to sincerely express my gratitude to the Mizzou staff.
But I'm out.
For the opportunity to play at the University of Missouri. He is a Blue Valley High School product. Over the past 3 years, I have had truly remarkable experiences filled with unforgettable moments. But in the future, none of them will be with Mizzou.
Somebody was mad about how much playtime there he got, I'm guessing.
All right. And then this story. An Ohio teacher has been placed on administrative leave after a student's family reported that the educator showed up at their home to demand missing homework. The teacher showed up unannounced at the student's home on Wednesday of last week, requested that the child grab the missing homework assignment and present it.
It was sort of unannounced. If you read down further, it gets worse.
During the interaction between the teacher and the student, a parent arrived home and confronted the teacher on the front porch. The teacher will remain on leave pending the outcome of an investigation, according to the school district. The parent later emailed school administrators to inform them of the incident, and the teacher was placed on leave the following day. Blah, blah, blah. This one's from Fox News.
Wait, let me. One thing I'm going to say in the teacher's favor, and then there is one thing that definitely goes against the teacher's favor. Let's start with the thing in her favor, okay? The teacher said she went there to grab the assignment, because if all of the students had finished this assignment and turned it in, they would earn a pizza party. So if you think about it, she's really doing the kid a solid, because you don't want to be the kid in elementary school that, like, we're all excited for the pizza party. That was like a huge big deal when we were in school, Scott.
Yes, it was.
All so excited about the pizza party. You don't want to be the one kid that wrecks it for everybody. So she's like, look, I'll swing by. You hand it out the window, whatever, we're on our way. No harm, no foul. Huh? That's what's in her favor. Here's what's not in the favor of the teacher. She apparently asked the kiddo, do you mind if I follow the school bus to get to your house? Like, I'll get in my car and just follow the bus. And that's how she ended up at the kid's house.
Did the kid say okay?
Well, it's not really. I mean, that's kind of weird, right? She tailed a bus to get to the house to get the assignment, which seems like a lot of work. Why wouldn't you just reach out to mom and dad and say, look, unless you want your kid to be the kid that is the downfall of the pizza party, bring the assignment tomorrow.
Now, wait a minute. Here's we're looking at this in a nefarious way, and I'm not necessarily reading it that way. Here's how I envision the scenario went. The teacher said, okay, I've got 25 students. I've only got 24 homework assignments. Yeah. Who's missing? Oh, it's sweet little Tommy. Sweet little Tommy didn't turn in his assignment. And we're going to have a pizza party if I get 25.
Yeah.
So she says to Tommy,
yeah,
where's your homework assignment? You're the only one missing.
Yep.
I left it at home. I did complete it, but I left it at home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, instead of asking, and this I think we would have thought even worse, what's your address and I'll come pick it up.
Definitely would have been worse, yeah.
She says, do you mind if I follow your school bus home?
Just follow the bus home like a creeper.
You can hand me your homework assignment and everybody gets pizza tomorrow.
They already have the address on file.
Probably.
Yeah.
I think of this as a rather innocent, sweet teacher.
I think back in the 70s, this happened all the time. Or the teacher would paddle you if you didn't turn it in and then make an example out of you and say, hey, I think we all know why we don't all have pizza today. And it's this student right here.
And then Tommy goes outside at recess and gets his ass whipped.
Right. That's how we would have seen this unfold in the 70s. I think today, the following the bus, the intentions were probably good.
And today, the assumption is that the teacher is wrong, no matter what.
Well, I'm not saying this was wrong. I just think there were way easier ways to handle it that didn't probably involve ending up on the front porch of your student's parents.
But Dan's right. If there's any question about teachers' conduct, they need to be suspended. They need to be disciplined. When did you guys graduate high school?
92.
Last century.
It was a long time ago.
1989.
Did you guys have the Pizza Hut Book It program?
No, what is that?
It started in 1984, and it was still going strong when I was in grade school, where if we read a certain number of pages within a fixed amount of time, we got a pizza party.
Oh.
And there was always one or two kids. Like, why didn't you just lie about how many pages you read? We could have had some pizza.
I was just going to say, how do they know that you read the pages?
I may or may not have been really good at my mom's signature. Who knows?
Have you guys seen the meme that a teacher posted, like, I don't know, it's been in the last couple weeks, where he basically said, and my life is over. And it was a chat between him and a student. And the student said, hey, you know, Dr. So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so, it might have been a professor. Do you mind if I cite some work in my report from the 1900s? I found a really interesting article from 1991. It said something from the prior century. Is it okay to go way back? Like, you
it's
know,
not way back
and post and cite something from the prior century. I found a really interesting article from 1990 that I think would maybe be good in my report.
In some magazine called Time.
And the professor was like, oh God.
I believe the article was etched in stone.
It's so bad.
So what about the parents of this pizza party kid?
Well, apparently one of them showed up while the teacher was waiting at the front door.
Yeah.
And they didn't like that.
Oh,
and
they didn't say, oh, hi.
Let me get the assignment.
Teacher X.
I've been busy.
Yeah, let me make sure you get the assignment that you as the teacher assigned.
It would be a little jarring, Dan, if you came home as a parent and one of your kids' teachers was on your porch. It would be jarring. You'd be like, did something happen? Did someone get shot?
I would say, what did he do wrong?
That's what my mom would have said.
Uh-huh.
And here's the other thing. I would argue, if we're in, March? If you don't know who your kid's elementary school teacher is, that's a little bit jarring.
Okay, can I just...
That tells me you haven't been to parent-teacher night.
Can I just offer one rebuttal to that? If this was middle school and there are multiple teachers, and let's say you have, I don't know, like four children in one district, a little bit of grace for mom there.
Are you saying that you didn't know your kids' teachers?
I'm saying there were times where we would get emails about something about a class, and I would just reply, which kid?
I mean, Sam, if you, let's say you had four kids, and let's say they have seven teachers apiece.
Yeah.
That's 28 faces you
got to
remember.
You want me to tell you, was I keeping track? No. The answer is no.
But this is elementary school we're talking about,
I believe so. Let me double check.
You know Sam by the fourth one. He was just lucky to get there. I was like... Do you need a ride?
She didn't even know what school he was going
to.
It's
so much easier now that they're adults.
It's a yellow bus. Get on it.
No.
Okay, I'll see you later.
So it doesn't say if it was an elementary school teacher. They just keep referring to this person as an educator, and the school is an intermediate school. What does that mean?
That might be middle school. I might be on team mom here.
Let me look up what intermediate
could be. Fifth and sixth grade.
We need an assignment. Which kid? Which class?
Intermediate is fourth through sixth grade.
Why not just pick up the phone and call or shoot an email to mom? Say, hey, just so you know, we are still...
It's got
to
be in by tonight.
Yeah, got to have that pizza party.
You know, your kid's going to learn deadlines sooner or later. How about sooner?
I'm going to be honest. And this is unpopular, and I don't care. I remember one very proactive parent that was on the PTO. That was not me. Shocking, I know. Very proactive parent. I got no fewer than like 20 emails that, why are you not donating for this cause? We're trying to get all the kids to donate for this cause. And it was probably around child three or four. And I just remember thinking, I don't have time for this. What do you need? We need another whiteboard in, I love Blue Valley, but they've got a lot of bells and whistles. No, I'm not giving it. Like, have you seen our tax bill? No, I'm not sending $40. Like, I remember drawing a line. And it was right around kid three or four. I'm like, I'm not doing it. And she did say, you know, you will be the only one. And I'm like, then I stand alone. I'm happy to die on that hill. I will be the one. Because now it's a thing. Now you're now you're shaming me into writing a check for whatever it is. And I'm like, no, I'm not feeling it.
Did you get tip fatigued by the PTO?
Yes, Sam.
By the way, text line hit the nail on the head. I bet you the parent called and complained to the district. Otherwise, the district would have no idea that this happened.
They did. They did complain to the district. That's exactly right. Instead of, to Dan's point, saying, okay, what did Tommy do wrong? Tommy didn't do anything wrong, Mrs. Weinbaum. I'm just here because I promised them a pizza tomorrow. I mean, with some simple conversation and dialogue, we can forget all the misunderstandings, and every teacher doesn't have to be pervy McRapey perv.
But simple dialogue would have been, pick up the phone and be like, okay, this is awkward. I'm sorry to call you. I know everybody's busy. We are missing this assignment, and we don't want everyone to be docked because then that causes issues for your child.
And that's what happened.
Just send it tomorrow.
Okay. Well, the deadline was tonight.
Well.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. I want all the homework assignments. That's what she wants. And I will drive to your house to collect. A teacher in Ohio is currently suspended after every student turned in their homework assignment except one. And we needed a perfect turn-in to get a pizza party the following day. As the teacher was at the door talking to the student, getting the homework assignment that he or she either did or didn't do, maybe lied about, who knows, one of the parents shows up, and they did not like that teacher had come to their home to collect the homework assignment. Here, I'll add one more thing before we get to the phones, 913-586-7798. I don't see this as creepy weird. I see this as a teacher who is willing to go above and beyond for the education of their students.
Okay. Let me just throw one thing in here. From time to time, there are awful stories in our stack about children who are removed from the school or just stop coming. And usually there is an awful outcome to that story, like the man who was held captive in a home for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And you remember the principal saying that, like, 20 years ago, I remember raising some alarms about, like, where is this now feral adult who was removed and abused in this home?
Yeah.
If teachers and administrators are not going to knock on a door when a child just goes missing from the education system, it seems odd that someone would go knock on the door for a pizza party and a missing homework assignment. Like, to me, flip it around. If you were going to knock on a door, the time that an administrator or teacher should be knocking on a door, if we're going to do that, would be like, we haven't seen so-and-so in a while and we're worried about his well-being.
But is it possible that mom and or dad wasn't upset that Mrs. Jefferson showed up at the front door and it kind of creeped them out. Is it possible that mom and or dad was annoyed because Mrs. Jefferson one-upped them on the child responsibility scale?
It's possible.
Is it not a sad commentary on society today? And you guys have already kind of touched on this.
We always go to the dark side.
I don't have kids, so I don't maybe don't have any room to speak here. But rather than saying, "Hey, Mrs. Jefferson, how are you doing? What are you doing around here today? What's going on?" And like having a conversation with the teacher, they just immediately go with, "What the blank are you doing here?"
Yes, it's a sad commentary, Sam. Lucy in Lee Summit, 913-586-7798. Lucy, hello.
Yeah, there's kind of an easy answer to this whole homework assignment business being all have 100% turn in rate for the kids to get a pizza party. If it was something like, if it has to be 100% of the kids, wouldn't it have been a lot easier if they would have done the assignment online, and then that way she wouldn't have to be going to somebody's house.
Right. Or for that matter, just email the parents online and say, hey.
Right. Kids these days, they have computers. I mean, on their snow days, they do live school on, you know, canceled days. And I feel like it's something that just kind of she overlooked, didn't think much about, didn't think that there was anything nefarious going on, and then it wouldn't be that big of a deal. And she was probably excited to go and just be like, hey, no problem, I can just come to the house and come get the homework assignment. And there was probably no harm in, you know, in her mind, but it does seem a little weird to ask, can I follow your school bus? I think I would have taken it to the family and said, hey, you know, can you guys at least just snap a picture of the homework and so I know he got it done?
But Lucy, let me interrupt you for a second. I want to get your response. I know a lot of people in education. I think we give way too much credit to the attentiveness and involvement of a lot, not all, certainly not all, parents. Calls to that, everybody's saying, why not call the parents and just say, hey, the assignment was never turned in, or email them. You're assuming that the parents are actually going to pick up the phone when they see that the caller ID is their kid's school, or that they're going to answer an email when they realize it's Mrs. Jefferson who's writing in.
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, that does make sense because, I like to think that I keep up on my kid's school. And if a teacher called, I would call back, but I wouldn't answer the phone at first. I'd let them leave a message. I'm not going to lie there.
Okay. All right. Hey, do appreciate it, Lucy. Thank you for the call. 913-586-7798. Sean, we know you're a teacher. Hang tight. Want to get your thoughts on this here in just a moment. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. Don't forget to check out our podcast. The Dana Parks Podcast, available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to kmbz.com. Let's go to Sean in Warrensburg on line two. Sean, hello.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Anytime.
As a teacher with 25 years of experience, I can recall being a younger teacher, and I would do things similar to this. And I would bet dollars to donuts that this is a younger teacher starting out her career. And teachers are put between a rock and a hard place today because we are urged to build relationships with our students. Well, how do you build relationships? You do things like you invest in them. What are their interests? You know, oh, you like the Royals. Hey, I've got the, you know, whatever. And you greet them at the door and you get to know their name and you get to know their interests. And when you have, if this is, you know, fourth through sixth grade, you know, they're usually smaller classes and it kind of becomes almost, you know, like your flock and you want to do the best by them. And when the one is going to let down everyone, you want to, you know, go above and beyond. And I understand that. Now, 25 years later, I probably wouldn't go to their door. But in my year 7, I did exactly that. I had a student who was falling through the cracks. Parents were not doing the job. And this student was at risk of dropping out because he couldn't make it to school. And I had him in class. And I would make the phone calls. I would send the emails. I got his phone number, and I would call it on the school phone to try and wake him up. And occasionally, twice, I actually, on my way to school, stopped by the house. I communicated with the parent ahead of time, although that wasn't much, you know, help. And I picked him up. And just those two times, that gave him enough, I don't know, kick in the pants or whatever, that, you know, this teacher is serious.
Yeah.
And if I don't get my act together, he's going to make sure that I don't fail. And he got it all worked out.
But Sean, let me stop you for a second, because you brought up something. I don't want to lose track of it. Can you imagine in today's day and age a teacher calling a student who is routinely not arriving to class and asking the parents, do you mind if I pick up your student? People would immediately, because of the world that we now live in, they would immediately think, Sean is a creeper McCreepy.
Yes. Exactly. And with experience comes experience and wisdom. And that was year 7. Year 25, no. Now, I'm in a situation now where I'm trying to help a young lady, again, high school, but I've contacted the mom. The mom is on board, but I'm not picking this girl up. I'm not going to the house. You know, I am going through channels. I'm using the counselor. I'm contacting and keeping everything above board with texts, you know, through the, you know, the class social media, not my personal, but it's the same thing. Now, does that look hinky if you're on the outside looking in? What's this teacher doing contacting a high school student? Yeah, but I'm making sure my I's are dotted, T's are crossed, and everything's above board, because I ain't getting hung out to dry and losing my career because of a student. But that's where we're at. You are either a teacher who wants to but won't risk it, so you don't go above and beyond, or you've got the passion and you do,
and then it bites you.
You get hung out to dry.
Yep.
That's exactly right.
Sean, appreciate the call. You know, speaking of...
we need more Seans.
Picking up or taking home students, when I was a youth soccer coach, on the rare occasions, and it probably happened 3 or 4 times in 20 years, where a parent would call me and say, can you pick up my kid or take my kid home?
Yeah.
The only times I would ever say yes is if I knew one of my own children would be at the practice, and they sat, my children sat in the front seat, their teammate sat in the back seat.
Yep.
Because I'm not going down for nothing.
Right.
Mike in Overland Park. And if one of my kids couldn't make it to practice that night.
You're just going to miss practice.
I'm sorry, I can't bring her home. Mike in Overland Park. Hello, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
So I'm on the side of, why are we trying to avoid consequences of the expectations? The expectation is everybody gets the homework done and everybody gets a pizza party. If that expectation's not met, then we have consequences that we're not going to have a party. Why are we going so hard to protect the consequence? Because that's part of life as well, is accepting the repercussions or the consequences of not meeting expectations. And it seems like we're working too hard to protect people and kids in general from the consequences that they may see.
Mike, I smelt your cooking in the kitchen, but if we have 25 students in a class and 24 have turned in their homework, they have met the expectations,
and
they're being penalized because of the action of one.
Well, let's make a sports analogy then. Let's say that we're winning a football game and I fumble and the other team recovers and we lose the game because of my fumble, and it's still a consequence to the entire team, and you can't single that one person out because it happens. And, you know, so I just don't think that 24 out of 25, the teacher would be very, very proud that she got 24 out of 25 to do the homework.
Yeah.
But why focus on the one when 24 out of 25 did it? Or find out why and then have the party anyway. What's it hurt to say, okay, we got 24 out of 25, let's have a party anyway. That's really, really good.
Okay. All right.
That's a good point.
Mike, I hear your point. And I've always made the argument you can analogize anything to sports. And I hear what you're saying about you fumbled the ball, but the entire team loses.
I know. I always feel so bad for the kid that fumbles the ball.
Fair point. But everybody on the team hates you right now.
Right.
And let me make a workplace analogy.
Yeah.
let's say you work in sales, okay? Let's say it's radio sales, okay? And everybody has a target that they're supposed to sell money, a dollar amount in Q1, okay? And let's say that everybody is supposed to make $100,000 in sales in Q1.
Sure.
And everybody, 9 out of 10 do. One salesperson doesn't hit the $100,000 mark. And I get professionally penalized because that person in the cubicle didn't three the down mark. Didn't hit their mark. I hit my mark. She didn't. And now I'm being professionally penalized for them not getting
the
mark.
Can we stop saying penalized?
What?
Penalized.
Can we have the KJ Adams update? I just saw the comment from Coach Self.
From KZTV5, Coach Self is now speaking after KJ Adams left the KU game when we lost to Arkansas in the first round of the NCAA tournament. It was an Achilles tear of some kind. He has undergone surgery and is on the road to recovery. He is in good spirits, according to Self. Obviously a big setback, but he is headed to physical rehab to take care of his torn Achilles that has since been repaired through surgery. Okay.
Listen to this. It has been 30 years since music legend Selena was killed by her nut president of the fan club, psycho woman, right?
Yes.
That woman is now up for parole. She is done serving her, quote, life sentence. A 64-year-old Yolanda Saldivar has petitioned for parole under review, according to the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. On Sunday, she will be up for parole for the very first time. Didn't she also steal a bunch of money?
Yeah, like, I think so. I have to look that up. Man, it's been so long.
And like, crazy super fan in charge of the fan club and then kills her.
Yep.
It has been 30 years, and she is up for parole. I thought in Texas a life sentence meant bye.
We all did.
Anyway, we'll keep our eye on that. She could get out.
Selena was killed on March 31st of 1995, so almost exactly 30 years
ago. She was the
ago.
Founder and president of Selena's fan club, also a manager of her clothing boutiques, but was fired in early 1995 after money was discovered missing. Selena went to Saldivar's room at a Days Inn in Corpus Christi to pick up some business records she needed to file taxes, and she was shot in the back outside with a .38 caliber. Rushed to a nearby hospital, pronounced dead.
Huh. Okay, I'm reading about Yolanda Saldivar. Well, she probably won't get out, do you think?
I do.
Really?
A life sentence, we've seen this in other high-profile cases, yeah. Means 30 years, and that 30 years is up.
Okay.
I wouldn't let her be president of anyone's fan club.
Well, no, not now.
Or get close to any stars at all, for that matter.
Luigi Mangione is asking for a laptop in his jail cell, but just for legal purposes, not for communicating with anyone, as he awaits trial in the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO. In a court filing made public earlier this week, Mangione's lawyers proposed that he get a laptop configured solely to let him view a vast amount of documents, videos, and other material in the case surrounding the shooting of Brian Thompson. Similar limited laptop provisions have been made for some other defendants in the federal lockup where Mangione is currently being held. Defense lawyer Karen Agnifilo wrote that there's, quote, no connection to Mr. Mangione for any of said alleged threats that have been made. Mangione accused of gunning down Thompson in December. Okay. I'm telling you, I've got a funny feeling he walks. I really do. They can't get 12 people to agree that he's guilty because they don't want to agree that he's guilty. I really believe that. He's almost
but
like
he is.
He is. I almost think
the defense is going to say we concede. ... However, like, don't you think
what
that
do you
will
mean,
be
like
the
second degree murder?
Yeah, the defense.
Out in 20 years?
Yeah, the defense isn't going to be he didn't do this. There's security cameras everywhere. The defense has to be.
Well, and there's DNA too.
We're going to concede that he did this. ... But however,
what is he charged with? First degree murder?
I'm pretty sure it would have to be he. Laid in wait? Do you lied in wait? Load in wait?
I don't know, but he's going to be penalized.
He certainly waited.
Am I not pronouncing that word properly?
Penalized?
I like penalized, but, you know, you can go with penal.
Let's see.
Let's find out. If I'm pronouncing it according to the computer incorrectly, I will change. Just like forward.
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 Tournament.
Penalized.
Boom! Boom!
What is the British? Let's hear the British.
You can say penalized.
Penalized.
Not in English or in American.
With an accent on peen. Penalized.
Penalized.
And go back to, was that the American?
That is the American. Here, I can slow it down for you.
Mm-hmm.
Penalized.
I heard a P. Penalized. Do we have Australian?
Nah, just those two. Oh, going to have to talk to Google about that.
Penalized.
One. Get some more accents in there.
Penalized.
Read the documents.
Read them and understand them.
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Coming up next hour, and Dana always tells me, nostalgia sells, and she's right. What percentage of Americans want their childhood products to come back? Like, not just for them.
Like Weeble Wobbles?
Well, that could be one, yes.
I mean, I know it's a choking hazard, but I kind of want to play with Weeble Wobbles.
That could be one. Think about it.
Lawn darts? Probably not.
Think about it.
And someone stabbed grandma again.
I'll let you know the percentage when we get back after 5 o'clock news. And then what is it from your childhood? And keep that in mind, childhood, that you want back. So for somebody, Dana's in my age, who are in their early 50s, this can't be something from the 90s. We weren't kids anymore in the 90s, really. Well, Dana was. I wasn't. Can't be anything from the early 2000s. Has to be something from your childhood that you would want to come back.
Monchichis?
Okay.
Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Proper Room makes Weeble toys.
Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down.
When a 39-year-old man died, his family sent the body back home to Guatemala for a funeral.
Oh, have you heard about this?
But while watching the live stream of the funeral back here in the U.S., they were shocked to discover it was not their loved one's body in the casket. Instead, it was a 96-year-old woman that they didn't know. The family said the body mix-up understandably added to their grief.
You think?
It's very hard to be here, said Lenore Valente, the widow. All I want is for them not to make the same mistake that they did with my husband. Lenore described an unspeakable situation after 39-year-old Elmer, the father of their two children, died suddenly last May. The funeral home in Corona was supposed to transport the body down to Guatemala, but during a live stream of the funeral, the family was horrified to learn that the body in the casket was not his.
Oh, my God.
It was a 96-year-old woman named Carmen, who was supposed to be buried in Ecuador.
Where was her body supposed to be? God.
In Ecuador. Both families are now filing a lawsuit. Mm-hmm.
Breaking news out of the world of sports. Jim Nance has announced his retirement date.
He's my favorite.
For the Masters. And this is the content we are all here for on social. Jim Nance has announced he will retire from calling the Masters in 2036.
Oh, I'm okay with that.
It would be his 51st time calling the tournament and the 100th anniversary of the Masters. So he wants to announce the 100th anniversary, and then he says he's out.
How old is he right now? Because that's 11 years
from now.
I was just
going to ask you to look that up, because he's already announced he's no longer going to do... is it football or basketball?
Yeah, I don't think he does football.
Anyway, I love him. I think there's nobody better. I don't think there's ever been anybody better.
He's 65 right now, so he would be 76 when he retires.
I love it.
He's the best. I mean, his voice is so soothing.
Oh,
that man,
so good.
If he would read the phone book, I would listen to it to fall asleep at night.
Has done NFL, NCAA Division I men's basketball,
yeah,
NBA.
Definitely that.
But can you imagine having to follow that man calling the Masters? Who are they going to get? And I love Dottie. I love all of the other.
You never want to follow the legend.
Commentators, but I don't know who fills those shoes.
Never follow the legend. Dan's got the news coming up here in 2 minutes. That guy over there is Sam Stevie III. She is Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. here on KMBZ. We will see you on the other side.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.